Match what he did to what you're doing. It's a great thing to do. Verse 1 begins with a declaration of faith. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. It begins here. It begins here. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. This is where I'm going to start. I'm going to start by trusting in you. I'm going to begin by trusting in you. I'm going to begin with a declaration of faith and praise to you. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Then he begins and he makes his request. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to hear me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. Lord, I'm trusting in you. Don't let me fail. Don't let me fail, Lord. Don't let me be ashamed. Deliver me. Keep me safe from my enemies. Lord, listen to me, please. Hear me. Be my strength. And then David, he expresses once again his confidence in the Lord, saying, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength." David once again uses the imagery. You are my rock and my fortress. It describes stability. Oh, we could be on sand and it's a little shaky. We could be on pebbles and we might slide, but when we're on the rock, it's secure. We're on firm ground. We're on firm footing. It speaks of stability. It speaks of security. It speaks of strength. And it speaks of protection. Lord, you're all these things to me. You're my solid ground. With you, I have stability. With you, I have security. You're my strength. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in you. And you are my protection. David was trusting the Lord to lead him and guide him, to keep him from falling into the traps that his enemy had set. Don't you know there's some traps out there? Have you seen them? Have you fallen into them? Man, they are all over. And our world is full of traps, full of things that will make you stumble, that will get you tangled up, that will keep you away from the Lord. Full of traps. Madison Avenue. Television. Idols. I'm missing American Idol tonight. It's my favorite part of the show. So I'm going to sing for you and you can all be the judges later on, okay? It's traps, TV, it's traps. Yeah, oh, focus all my attention over here on this. Okay, and that's over, and now on this. Okay, and that's over. Oh, watch this. It's a trap. There's all kinds of traps. But for your name's sake, this is a great prayer for us. But for your name's sake, Lord, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Verse 5 David says, into your hand I commit my spirit. Y'all have heard that, right? It's the words of Jesus that Jesus spoke from the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he laid his head down and the spirit departed. It's the words that Stephen said when he was stoned. Lord Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Redeem means that he's purchased, he's bought. You have purchased me. My life, it's no longer my own. Into your hands, I commit my spirit, my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. Into your hands. When we place ourselves in the Lord's hands, oh, how secure is that? We're not going to be disappointed. We're not going to be shaken. We're not going to fall into some trap because he has us. In John chapter 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Oh, Lord, into your hands, man, I commit my all, my spirit, my mind, my body, my soul, into your hands, Lord. Into your hands. It's all going to work out. In my own, oh, it's going to be a mess. In my own, I'm going to fall into those traps. I'm going to get tied up. I'm going to get drawn away from you. But when you've got a hold on me, nothing is going to be able to separate me from your love. Paul, in Romans 8:35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then in verse 38, he answers, he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we place ourselves in the Lord's hand, oh, what a great place! It's better than Destin. I guarantee you. Some people got to go to Destin on the weekend. Others stayed home. So they were destined to go. You only try that when Miss Viola isn't here. David in verse 6 says, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wild place? In a wild, wide place. That's the New Steve translation. In a wide place. You know, when people are in trouble, they're going to turn to something. You know that? You do know this, right? Oh, I better check my horoscope. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Oh, what a dork! You're going to check your horoscope. Oh, I have a friend, she's a psychic. fortune cookie. Oh, think happy thoughts. Okay. No, really, you got to think positive. All right. People will turn to drugs and alcohol just because they don't want to deal with it. That's what's going to give them relief. In trouble, people will turn to money. That's what our government's trying to do. It ain't going to work. Economics 101, right, David? Ain't going to work. You print more money, it makes the money you have worth less. Spiraling inflation, followed by deflation. It's going to be a terrible thing. Crash and burn. Okay, we're out of that one. Let's just be positive about this. See if it works. Useless idols. Useless idols. Nothing more than the work of men's hands, people's imaginations. This is going to take care of me. This is going to help me. But David says, I trust in the Lord. And he trusts in the Lord because of the Lord's mercy. The Lord is merciful to us. He hasn't dealt with us as we deserve. Thank you, Lord. He knows that the Lord is actively watching over his life. It says here, you have considered my trouble. Now, if you have an NIV, it says, you saw my affliction. If you have an NES, it says, you have seen my affliction. The Lord watches over each one of us. I got two kids. I can't keep track of two kids. I got two eyes, one for each, but they don't go like that. You know what I'm saying? Yet the Lord is aware of our situation. Back in Exodus chapter 3, the children of Israel, they were in Egypt. You remember that? In bondage. And this is what God said. The Lord said, Exodus 3, verse 7, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry. So he sees, he hears, because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So he sees, he hears, and he knows. He's omniscient. He knows all about us. Jesus, when he put the disciples in the boat to go across the Galilee, when he went up to pray, you remember? Mark chapter 6? Yeah, Mark chapter 6. I have notes here. Of course we remember that. You remember what it says in verse 48? Vince probably does, but for the rest of you, it says, then he saw them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. The Lord sees our difficulties. He sees what's going on in our lives. He sees the problems that he's having, that we're having. He's not ignorant to what's going on in your life. In verse 8, David says, you have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Well, of course not, because I placed myself into your hands, and no one's able to take me from your grasp. You haven't let me fall into that trap. You haven't let the enemy overtake me, but you have taken me, and you've put me in a wild place. A wide place. A broad place. A place where there is freedom. A place where I'm free, where I'm secure. Satan always wants to take you and put you in a confined, narrow place. He wants to bind you up. He wants to hold you. He doesn't want to set you free. But the Lord places us in a wild place. Why? On Animal Planet tonight, we'll have wild places. The Lord puts us in... Well, it's wild, man. It is, but isn't it wild? I mean, this is crazy. They used to say I was wild, but this is wild. Some days I walk down the hall and I laugh. I do. I'll just be giggling. I'm doing this. What am I doing here? That's wild. What are you doing here? That's wild. In a wild, wide place full of freedom. Now, David has spoken of the Lord's mercy, and now he asks for mercy. Oh, Lord, you're so merciful. You're so great. You're so awesome. Can I have some of that mercy? That's good. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. Now, if you went to the doctor with these complaints, he's going to say you're paranoid, schizophrenic, and prescribe some drugs for you. That isn't going to work. What you need is the Lord's mercy. I mean, these are real afflictions of suffering. My eyes waste away with... I'm just crying. So nothing left. Hey, look, that happens in real life with people. That they are so down that all that they can do is cry. This is real life. So depressed. So overwhelmed with the grief of life. He says, my life is spent with grief. Just... That's all there is to my life right now. It's just grief. My years with sighing, my strength, I have no more strength in me. It feels like my bones are just wasting away, just pain, aches and pains in my body. I'm a reproach. I'm an object of ridicule. In disgrace, people look at me. They ridicule me. I'm repulsive. I'm forgotten. I'm like a broken vessel. Empty, not good for anything. I'm just a shell of a man. People slander me, and I'm afraid. They want to kill me. David is overwhelmed by his afflictions. But where did he start? We got to go back. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. You are where I am going to focus. You are where I'm going to put my trust. All these problems are real. I'm not just saying if a man had this problem or that problem or this other problem. These are real things. And David knows the only place that he's going to get relief is from the Lord. In you I put my trust. He said here, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. I put my trust in you, and what I need from you is mercy. Right now, I just need mercy. Jesus said that in this life, you will have tribulation. And I tend to think that the saints have a little more tribulation than other people. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil are against you. And that is going to create trouble in your life. If you were a part of the world, you wouldn't get trouble from the world. They'd applaud you. It'd make you an American Idol. But since you're not a part of this world, you have trouble. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, cracked pots, earthen vessels. And we're just dust. We're just vessels. And we have this treasure that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Hey, we're going to have trouble. It's going to be like we're being crushed. But the Lord, our confidence has to be in the Lord. Our trust has to be in the Lord. He's the one that we have to run to in the midst of trouble, seeking that mercy. Now, David once again proclaims his confidence in the Lord here in verse 14. He says, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. All of these bad things are happening. But, all of this is happening, but I trust in the Lord. You know, I talked to a young man Monday night, and man, he was telling me what was going on in his life. My job is bad, but at least I have a job. But I might not have a job because I get some disability, but not enough to live on. But if I don't quit working, they're going to take the disability away. I'm hurt. I'm a wreck. I'm a mess. Another back problem. My wife is worse than me. He would tell me stuff, and I just... And this is what he said. I don't know what I'm going to do. And you know what? We're going to hear more and more. I believe we're going to hear more and more of that. Was it 30 or 40,000 jobs? 40,000 jobs that I heard. 60. Monday? Okay. I stopped listening at 40. It started at 20 early in the morning, and then it, by the afternoon it was 40. And Aunt Connie said she thought she heard 70. 70,000 jobs, 40 to 70,000 jobs lost in one day. And this is an ongoing thing right now. And people are saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. Look, if you tell me that, I'm going to tell you the same thing. I don't know what you're going to do either. But if I were you, I trust in the Lord. I would commit myself to Him fully, completely. You'll have the best spiritual time of your life. Because there's absolutely nothing you can do. And you are totally, fully dependent upon the Lord. We look around, we look at the circumstances and the situation, and we go, oh man, I'm done. This is it. It's all over. But we don't walk by sight. Right? We walk by faith. We've got to live our lives in faith, trusting in the Lord. No matter what. No matter what we see. If things go bad, you're going to stop trusting in the Lord? I would think just the opposite. We would trust in Him all the more. We found out that we couldn't trust in the job, couldn't trust in the money, couldn't trust in ourselves. Who are you going to trust in? You going to give up on God? Are you stupid? Just had to remember that if you come to that place, okay? You're going, what, am I stupid? As for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. You're holding me. You've got me. I committed my spirit to you. My times, everything about me is in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Hey, look, God is in control. Ultimately, He is going to prevail. We might go through some tough times, but the Lord is going to prevail. The wicked... How do you think they're going to turn out here? I almost lost heart. Seeing how easy the wicked have it. Well, they don't have the problems of the righteous. But David said, then I saw their end. Whoa. I don't want to trade places. I know what my end is. I know what my destiny is. I know where I'm going. I also know where the wicked are going. In the end, the Lord's going to be glorified. The righteous are going to praise Him, and the wicked are going to be silenced. Verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of men, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. How great is the Lord's goodness? They're unfathomable. The unfathomable riches that we have in Christ, we'll never be able to reach the depth of them. We will spend eternity looking at the greatness of God, the riches of the Lord, His goodness. How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Paul quotes, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it come to mind the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. It's beyond our imagination. It makes me want to go. David says, blessed be the Lord, for He has shown me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Hey, isn't that how it is? We cry out in haste. Oh, this is it. It's over. I don't know what I'm going to do. But the Lord heard my cry. But the Lord delivered me. But the Lord did that. The Lord did this. We find ourselves in impossible situations, in circumstances, impossible. But we need to remember that with men, it may seem impossible. But all things are possible with God. David, he encourages us at the end here. Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. He's going to take care of those who are faithful. He preserves them, He keeps them, and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all you hope in the Lord. We might feel like we're done, but when you find yourself in that situation, please go back to the Psalms. When you get down, depressed, discouraged, overwhelmed, love the Lord. Be of good courage and continue to hope in the Lord. He's going to deliver you. He's going to take care of you. I know He will. I might get to just see how well He does at that myself before it's all over here. Let's go to Psalm 32. A Psalm of David, a contemplation. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble.
You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Awesome psalm. Psalm 32. A psalm of the joy of forgiveness. It says that it's a psalm of David, a contemplation in the New King James. Now, if you have a different version, it says a maskil. You see? You says maskil? Maskil means contemplation or instruction. It's a contemplation. Or is it an instruction? Is it something to think about or something to do? It's both. A contemplation and an instruction. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. The word blessed is Esher. Esher. We saw it in Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, the blessed man was that righteous man, that holy man without sin, that perfect man. Here the blessed man is a forgiven sinner. Blessed, the word means happy. Oh, how happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. A transgression is a trespass. That's to see the boundary, to know the boundaries there, to read the sign, and to go over it. No hunting or fishing. Yeah, but there's a pond over there. The fish are calling to me, Steve, bring your son. And so we did. We trespassed. Didn't catch any fish. It's a transgression, it's a trespass over the boundary, crossing over the line. A sin is missing the mark, aiming at something and hitting something entirely different. Not hitting what you were aiming for. Not hitting the mark. Iniquity is something that is twisted. Deceit? Well, that's deception. Jesus went to the cross to forgive our transgressions. To cover our sins. To straighten us out. We're so twisted. And to take deceit out of us. That we'd no longer be filled with deceit. Man, happy is the man. God made him who knew no sin become sin for us, that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, who the Lord does not impute. Impute means to put to your account. Does not put iniquity to your account. Your account is clean. Happy is the man whose spirit has no deceit. Thank you, Jesus. David said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Many think that David wrote this long after his sin with Bathsheba. You remember, David was quiet about it for a year. For a year. He had an adultery. He killed Uriah the Hittite. Lied and covered it up. And for a year. For a year, he kept silent. And for a year, his bones grew old. And for a year, he groaned. And day and night, the Lord's hand was upon him. And his vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Think about it. Selah. Think about it. Have you been there? In the garden, Adam and Eve tried to cover up, right? Fig leaves. I'm getting a rash just thinking about it, okay? How comfortable is that? How does that make you feel? They tried to hide from God. How are you going to hide from God? Now you don't see me. They were uncomfortable with their sin. And so they tried to hide and cover it up. It didn't help. It never does. Don't you know? It never helps. Look, if you are a child of God, God is going to put his hand upon you. You're not going to be successful at sin, okay? You're an amateur. Leave it to the world. They're professionals. If you are God's child, he is going to put his hand on your sin, and you are going to be very uncomfortable with it. Until you give up. He's going to bring conviction. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Look, you can either judge yourself, this was stupid, this was sin, what am I doing, Lord, forgive me, or let the Lord take care of it. I wouldn't recommend that one, because he's going to take you to the woodshed, because he disciplines those that are his. He chastises his children. And it's not out of anger. It's out of love to show you he loves you. Dad loves you. I don't want you to do this because you're going to get hurt. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin to you. In my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions, sin, iniquity, and transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the twistedness of my sin, the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Look, all I did, I just went and confessed. I just said, you're right, and I'm wrong. You have told me what's good. And I didn't follow that. And I confessed, and you've forgiven me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. Oh, you'll feel the weight of the Lord upon you. Won't you? That's just me. Okay.
Just me and you, Brandy. We're the only ones. Hey, don't look at her like that now, okay? We know about the rest of them. He who covers a sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. We can have the hand of the Lord upon us, pressing on us, or we can have the hand of the Lord on us, stroking us, giving us mercy. It's up to you, man. It's got to get your attention. You'll see. For this cause, everyone who is godly, for God's mercy, for his grace, for his forgiveness, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. It says here, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. When the Lord is touching you, pressing upon you, that's the time to go to him. Don't you know you can harden your heart? Your heart, your mind can be seared like with a hot iron, and you can become desensitized to the prompting of the Lord. Don't wait. No, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to go late after I've gone a week without doing this. Don't do that. You'll never go a week. Just confess it. Be done with it. Get on your knees. Seek the Lord. He's waiting for you. David tried to hide his sin, and he was miserable. And when he confessed his sin, God gave David a hiding place. A hiding place where transgression is forgiven, where sin is covered, where iniquity isn't imputed. A hiding place where deceit isn't present. 1981. Maranatha Music. Chorus. You know it. I knew you knew it. Come on up, Maria. You could be the next American Idol. Maranatha Music. Oh, little choruses. They had little choruses. They called them 7-11 songs. 7 verses repeated 11 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This one only has 6. Okay, 6 and 30. Whatever. Yeah. You know this song? You know it, Adam? Who knows it? You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you.
Paula, Randy, what do you think? Dog! I'm going to Hollywood! No, I'm not. I'm staying here, man. You can have Holly Weird.
Yeah, I'm going to a hiding place, a secret place. You know, somebody's humming. Who's humming? It's you humming? I mean, that's a good song, isn't it? Yeah. West Coast kids are hip. Well, whatever. I will instruct you, verse 8, and teach you in the way you should go. This is the Lord speaking. This is what he says to us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. What does that mean? It means I can't do it without moving my head, but you know what it means, right? You know what I mean, right? I will instruct you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle. What comes with the bit and the bridle? The reins. Ha! Else they will not come near you. Now check this out. This is the Lord's desire for us, that he would lead us, he would guide us with his eyes. What does that mean? First of all, it means you need to be close enough to him to see his eyes. But your iniquity separates you from your God. It means you have to confess your sins, deal with the sin. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It means that you need to be looking toward him, looking to him. How's he going to guide you if you're not looking to him? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I used to take my kids and I would take them and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. I hold their face so... And still, they'd be doing this with their eyes, you know? It's like, what is with you? Look at me! You gotta seek him and look at him for direction. If he's gonna direct you, you gotta look at him, right? And then there's one other little minor thing that you need to do. Obey. You need to follow him. Go where he's telling you. Get out of there. Go, okay. Go over there, okay. Right? Go over there. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Not at this time. Don't. We need to respond. Now, if you don't worry. He'll get your attention. Right? I hate walking around like a hooker. Yeah! For me, it's not like that. It's more like... It isn't. It's more like the mule in the 2x4. Bap! Okay. Now I've got your attention. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. God doesn't tell us not to sin because he is holding anything good from us, right? He will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. It's because sin is bad. It's bad for us. Adam Clark, he says this, every wicked man is a miserable man. God has wedded sin and misery as strongly as he has holiness and happiness. Sin and misery are wed together. Holiness and happiness are wed together. Therefore, what God has joined together, no man can pull apart. If you're going to mess with sin, you're going to be miserable. It's the fruit. If you're going to mess with holiness, you're going to be happy. It's the fruit. It's what you get.
He who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Now David finishes up with some instruction, an exhortation. Verse 11, he says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Amen? Is that a shout?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. I kept you late again. Father, we come and we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that our focus, our eyes would be set on you, Lord God, that we would be looking up, we'd be looking to you, we would look expectantly, we'd wait to hear from you, we'd respond to you, Lord, we'd draw near to you, we'd confess our sins. And Lord, we'd be glad in you, we'd rejoice in you, and would shout for joy over you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Pray in your name. Amen. All righty. Lord bless y'all.